Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to Pastor's Chat. I'm Pastor Ryder, New Life Medford, and I want to just share my heart about a few things. Last week was Wisconsin District Family Camp. Brother Terry Schock did some incredible teaching. And one thing about Brother Schock is he does a lot of leadership training and a lot of practical teaching. And some of these thoughts are things that I wrote down from those lessons and things that I want to try to incorporate here in our church. And I feel that we do a good job in creating a good culture here, but I want to do a better job. Of course, culture's about our shared values or beliefs or behaviors or customs. So when you ask yourself, what is the culture of New Life Medford? We did a leadership retreat at Hillabean's area about 2 years ago. And one of the questions we asked all of our leaders is, what is the culture of our church? And we had some good responses, and I think some positive responses. But my goal and my desire is to create a healthy culture in this church, a godly, righteous culture, and also a welcoming, friendly culture. And so let's talk a little bit about how to create that culture in our church. And I don't know if you agree. I hope you do. But New Life Medford is an incredible place to be. It's an incredible place to worship. And it just has a lot of incredible people in it and that make up the body of Christ in Medford. And I'm so thankful that I'm part of this body. But, you know, there's a lot of things we do as a strategy or procedures, if you will, to try to make sure that that we're welcoming or friendly or that people feel comfortable when they come in the door. We have a great welcome team, greeting team, that welcome people when they come in the door. We give out guest cards. We now give out welcome bags to all of the guests that come in. Those welcome bags have a free gift for everybody, Culver's coupons, and then a gift in there and information about the church, mints and pens and all that kind of stuff. And so all of our first-time guests and folks who haven't been here in a while, they get those welcome bags. So that's a great procedure, and that's a great strategy for having a welcoming church. And I think that, it goes without saying that this is a friendly church. In fact, many people that visit here, one of the comments I hear very often is that New Life is one of the friendliest churches I've ever been to. Because as soon as you walk in the door, you feel warmth, you feel love, you feel peace, you see a family atmosphere, and it's a great feeling that people get. We have a lot of good strategies in place to help us connect with people. There are things we can improve on? Sure, absolutely. And that's kind of what I'm talking about today. But all these strategies help us to be that friendly church. And we want to be the friendliest church in town. We want people to visit here and go, my goodness, those people wouldn't leave me alone. They're so nice. They're so kind. And they made me feel so comfortable and so welcome. And I love that. I love that. I want that to be who we are. But just being a friendly church is not enough. And let me qualify that. Brother Schock made a statement during his lessons last week, and I believe it was on the Monday that he taught on this, but he made this statement, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And what he's talking about is the culture of the church. If the culture of the church is not healthy, then we can have all the procedures and strategies we want in place, and we still will not be that effective with what we do. We can have all the welcome bags. We can give all the welcome bags in the world away. We can give people money when they walk in the door if we want to. And that will not create a friendly culture. It's not enough just to be a friendly church, but we need to have a friendly culture. Because while people are looking for a friendly church, they don't want to walk in a place and feel dissed or not appreciated or not welcome. So they're looking for a friendly church, but more than a friendly church, people are looking for friends. Real, true friends. It's not enough just to shake people's hands and smile when they walk in the door. But what happens after they walk in the door and they sit down in the pew? What happens after that? I think we do a really good job of people going up to new folks and introducing themselves, making them feel welcome. That's great. But what happens after that? Did you make contact with the person? Did you get their phone number so you can send them a text? Did you invite them to lunch or to coffee during the week? The fact is there's a lot of lonely people in this world. And a lot of people put up the facade that they're not lonely, but they really are lonely, and they deal with a lot of things. And if they can find a church that people are not just friendly, but can become their friends. And I think one of the most important things that we can do as a church, New Life, is create that culture of being friends, that culture of community, and not only community, but fellowship and relationship. So it's not just about fellowship, but it's about community and relationship. It's about building those connections, not just making acquaintances. You know, if we have people attend on Sunday, it's great. We're excited about that. Man, we shout about that, and it's awesome. But beyond that initial acquaintance or becoming acquainted with them, do we follow up with them? Do we send them a text during the week or a phone call? Or do you expect me to do that? I do that. But if we could chime in together and do that together, if we would work together to follow up with every guest who comes in this church, every person who sits on these pews, even our new people, we have, and it's so awesome to look out on a Sunday and see all the new people. We baptize people and we've got new families in our church, and that's just incredible. And I rejoice every day over that. But do they feel connected to this church? Or is it just that they see us on Sunday and maybe Wednesday? But during the week, does anybody call them or send them a text or follow up or say, hey, how you doing today? Praying for you. Hope you're having a good week. Would you like to meet for coffee on Friday morning? Or, hey, can we go to breakfast sometime? Or, hey, how about let's go to lunch or go shopping or something? Those things build relationships. And one of the most challenging things that people have when they come into the church, and here's the experience I've had, new people that come into the church. The challenge is to change friends, you know, because if they keep the friends and the connections they've had in the world, they're not going to be successful in living for God. But they don't want to just cut those people out of their lives and have no one. And, you know, a lot of churches do really good at that initial connection and that initial shaking of the hand, smiling and making acquaintances. But a lot of churches do a terrible job following up after that. You know, people will come in and then they'll feel like, man, this church is awesome. I felt the presence of God. This is what I'm looking for. But then nobody contacts them through the week. And then it'll go 2 weeks and 3 weeks and nobody reached out to them and nobody made the effort to make them, to connect with them. And I think that is what we need to do to build the community and the culture of being not just a friendly church, but friends to people. And not just acquaintances with people, but we can't claim to do life with each other if we never reach out to each other, except for when we're at church. I mean, you know, think about it. We're in church on Sunday mornings. You know, if you come to Sunday school, so 9 o'clock, we're out by 12:30. If you only come to main service, 10:30, then people are only here 2 hours on a Sunday. So whatever that equates for you, most people are going to be faithful to a Sunday, and maybe half or so will come on a Wednesday night, you know, which we have a good good attendance for Wednesday nights, a lot better than most churches, to be honest with you. But if that's the only connections we have with people is the times that we're in this building, are we really doing life with them? You know, we're just worshiping with them, and that's awesome. But between Sunday and Wednesday and Wednesday and Sunday, people have a lot of problems. They have family issues, and they have financial issues, and they have health issues, and all of those things that they're dealing with, the pressures of life, and just the choices of trying to make some changes in their life to live a godly, righteous life. And a lot of them don't understand all those changes they need to make. Well, what kind of connection do they have with the body outside of Sunday and Wednesday? Because that's what's going to make those new folks successful. That's what's going to help them to be successful, is the relationships, the connections that they have, the community that they have with the body. That's what's so vital. And I want to encourage you that we need to create the culture of not just being a friendly church, but being friends to people. Friends more than just on Sunday. You know, I mentioned on Sunday, you know, don't just run for the border when church is over. Don't just hit the door and go home and we'll see you next week. But go to lunch with somebody. Connect with somebody. Go drink a Coke. Go drink coffee. Make plans to meet during the week if you can't do that on Sundays. Those things are so vitally important. We've got to do more than just be friends with people, but we need to be family. You know, we need to do life with them. And you know, I love that we know how to have church. We know how to worship. We know how to connect with God. And when people walk into this building, they feel the presence of God, the peace of God, and they get revelation, and they're ministered to, and there's so many great things that happen on a Sunday or even on a Wednesday. But having good church does not equate to revival. We can leave here on a Sunday afternoon, and man, we're so pumped and excited because the presence of God was so powerful. And you know, people are touched, and there's miracles, and there's all kinds of things that happen. That's awesome. But good church does not equate to revival. That doesn't mean we're in revival just because we leave here on a high on a Sunday. What equates to revival is how many people we keep, and how many people we disciple, and how many people actually become part of the family and do more than just attend, but become part of the body. That equates to revival. Are we having revival? Well, let's look around. How healthy are we as a body, as a family, as a church family? I think everything that we do, and Brother Shock talked about this last week, should be filtered through number one, kingdom. That's his kingdom, not our kingdom. And number two, everything should be filtered through apostolic. And so we need a kingdom mindset, and we need an apostolic mindset. Everything we do in our services are based on apostolic principles. You know, the laying on of hands, miracle signs, wonders, worship, demonstrative worship, doctrine, all those things. That's all part of it. It's all part of being apostolic. But it's not about building our kingdom or New Life's kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God. First of all, we want heaven's kingdom to be established here. The kingdom of God to be established here. And number two, we want apostolic power and ministry to be established here. And the way that you determine your culture. So let me just ask you this. Just like I asked the leaders at that retreat a few years ago, what is New Life's culture? How do we determine what our culture is? You can look around, and you know, I told you the definition of culture is shared values, beliefs, behaviors, or customs. And so if I ask you the question, what is New Life's culture? What would you say our culture is based on that definition? I'll give it to you again. Shared values, beliefs, behaviors, or customs. So based on that definition, what would you say that New Life's culture is? Or what would you say that New Life's culture should be? If there's some things that we're lacking on, are there things that we lack? Sure. There's no perfect church. I can promise you. And if you find, I've told you this before, if you find it, don't join it. You ruin it. You know, they just don't exist. But how can we make our church better? How can we improve the culture of our church? What are our values? How can we determine what our values as a church is? It's more than just having good church. And I love that about this church. But, you know, having the kingdom of God or his kingdom being established here, kingdom means the king's domain. So if the kingdom of God is here, then God's king, this is God's kingdom. This is his domain. So is this God's kingdom? Is this his domain? So I ask you, how do we determine what our values are? I think one of the places we need to look is the book of Acts, because we are an apostolic church and we're building an apostolic kingdom-minded body of believers. That's the whole purpose of the church. So how do we determine what those values are? I think we find it in the book of Acts chapter 2. And if you look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, let me pull that up. I think it'd be good if I read that to you. Acts chapter 2. Okay. All right. Let me read to you. And I'm reading this one. We can read this in the New International Version, just because that's the one that popped up first. But I want to read this, and then we can pull culture out of Acts chapter 2, okay? Verse 42, Acts chapter 2, starting verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, or the apostles' doctrine, and to fellowship. Those two things were linked up together, okay? They weren't separate, they were linked up together. So while we are apostolic in doctrine, we've also got to be apostolic in fellowship, all right? Fellowship is important. It is vital. As a matter of fact, it is linked to doctrine. So you take that as you will, but that's what it says. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. There's some principles here, some key words here that we can pick out. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were to be saved. So if you read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, there are some key points that we can pull out to help create or talk about what culture should be. Number one is doctrine. I believe we have to be apostolic in doctrine, and we do a good job with that. We also have to have fellowship. That is important. Fellowship, relationship. You know, they went house to house breaking bread. That's fellowship. That's relationship. You know, if you invite someone into your house, you're inviting them into your personal space. So you're building relationships. So there's doctrine, fellowship, relationship. Okay. That's part of values. That should be our values. They continued in prayer. Prayer should be part of our values. They had reverence. Okay. You can pick that out. There were signs, wonders, and miracles that took place. So miracles should be a part of our values. And a lot of words in that passage, you see this repeated over and over. They had singleness of heart. They were kind to one another. The concept of unity and togetherness was part of that culture. It was part of their value. They were faithful to God's house. That was part of their value system. They worship. That was part of their value system. Another thing, if you read on, in that passage, you'll read where they brought the things that they owned. They sold the things that they had, and they brought the money and gave it to the church. We'll say, well, I don't like that part. Well, we can't just pick and choose scripture parts that we like. Giving is part of our values. You know, a church can't function without givers. And so that was a very apostolic thing to do. When we come before the church and we say, hey, we need to raise money for a parking lot. You know what the apostolic thing to do is dig down and find a way to give and be a part of that. Be a part of that miracle. Okay? That's an apostolic thing to do. We need money. We have a missionary coming. We have a missionary coming next week. So we're gonna make an appeal to people. Hey, give to help us support our missionary. Well, you know what? That's an apostolic thing to do. Giving is apostolic. And there's some people that don't like it when you start saying, hey, we need money. We need to do this. We need that. I know it's not about money and we don't make an issue about money. But giving is a part of our culture. Giving is a part of our values. So that should be a part of it. So I'm not talking about giving today, but I just wanted to, that's extra for you. So these are some key things that we can pull out of those scriptures that can help us to create the culture or the value system that we should have as a church. Doctrine, fellowship, relationship, prayer, reverence, miracles, unity, faithfulness, God's house, worship, giving. That's 10 principles or 10 values. And you may see some other ones in there. But those are the things that jump out at me in that passage. That's Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. So read it, do some research on it, and you can give me some comments on it. But those are all parts of our culture, our value system, the things that make us who we are. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship. They fellowship from house to house. Another thing about fellowship, a fellowship and the building of relationships in that passage was not just about eating with each other. We do that a lot. We like to do that. We're, they used to say Pentecostals can only eat and shop. That's all we can do. All we're allowed to do is eat and shop. You know, I know that's facetious, but, that's part of our culture. We do like to go out, eat, and fellowship with, or go to one of those houses and eat. That's part of it. But the fellowship part, the house to house, the relationship, the fellowship part, that the apostles had in their value system, their culture. It wasn't just about eating with each other. It wasn't just about fellowshipping to say, hey, you're my friend. But what was happening when they went house to house, building those relationships, they were also discipling. So when we have those shared moments where we're together, especially with new people, I'll give you an example. We do small groups or connect groups twice a year. We have our groups. Are these connect groups important? Yes, they're important. Number one, they build relationships. They build community. They allow for fellowship. Those are all great things. They're interest-based. That's what they are there for. But we can use those moments of connection with one another and fellowship with one another and relationship with one another to disciple especially new people. Sometimes we have interest groups and we may have other people visit our interest groups that maybe aren't a part of our church, or they may be new to our church. These groups are connection points, are ways that we can disciple people. As we're sitting there together and we have our foodist group, okay, and we're out to eat, that'd be a great time to sit with a new person and connect with them and do a little bit of impromptu Bible study or ministering at that moment. Those things are important. That's discipleship. Discipleship can be done in those ways. That's part of fellowship. And so fellowship shouldn't just be about being together, although that's a very important part of it, but it's also the discipleship that comes with it. We can use those opportunities for discipleship. I could expound on all these different principles and values. Prayer has to be a priority. I love the Audacity prayer group. Just for example, last week when my wife was sick, having trouble breathing, I asked Brother John to text out to the group, an instant prayer request, and people started commenting immediately. They were praying right then. They were talking, and God touched her body. So there's value in that prayer group, that prayer value that we have. We need to enhance that. And we've already talked about ways, or we're going to be talking about ways we can enhance our prayer groups so that we can increase that value in our church. I think it would be just incredible. The generosity of the church, hospitality of the church, We prioritize those things because they are our values, because that is our culture. That is what makes us who we are. And so I ask you again, in closing today, what is the culture of New Life Medford? What are our shared values? What are our beliefs? What are our behaviors? What are our customs? All of those things define our culture. And so what is the culture of New Life? Are we just a friendly church? Or are we a church that we can have friends? Are we just the friendliest church in town? Or when people come here, do they feel connected with us? Are we just a place where we make acquaintances on Sunday? Or do we follow up during the week and help one another and do life together during the week? What kind of culture are we building? Are we really apostolic? Are we giving people? Are we worshiping people? Are we praying people? Are we people that build relationships? Are we a people of unity and connection, relationships, community, all those things? What are our values as a church body? And so I hope today that in just a few moments, it looks like I've been on for about 30 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that. You could ask yourself, pray about the things that I've talked about. Go back and watch it. Go back and listen to the podcast if you don't want to see my ugly mug every time. But ask yourself, what's our culture? How can we enhance our culture? How can we make it better? How can we be more apostolic? How can we be more kingdom-minded? Kingdom is king's domain. How can we be more kingdom-minded? And, you know, the truth is, there's a lot of churches around this area. There's a lot of churches in our district, a lot of churches anywhere. I wouldn't want to be part of any other church than this one. This is a great church with a great culture, a very healthy body. We love one another. We weep. We rejoice with one another. We go through things together. We help each other. And we are family. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful to be a part of this church. Amen. I hope you got something out of the pastor's chat today. Next week, it'll either be Tuesday or Thursday that we come back in and do a live. If you have questions or thoughts or ideas, you can share those, put them in the comments. If there are subjects that you want me to cover or you want my opinion on things or you want me to talk about, shoot me an email, a text, or leave a comment, and we'll try to get to that. I do want to, in the future, the very near future, spend some time talking about some end time prophecy things that are going on. I know many have asked about that. So that's coming up in the weeks to come. So God bless you. I hope you have a great day. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And if you didn't join us live and you're just going to watch the replay, thank you for joining us. We love you. We'll see you at church. God bless you.